The Liberal and National parties have announced their new joint climate and energy policy. The coalition has dumped a commitment to net zero emissions by 2050, but is promising to reduce emissions year on year, considering, quote, the real performance of other developed countries. Opposition leader Susan Lee also said affordability would be at the heart of the coalition's plan, although she did not outline when or by how much power bills would be reduced. Joining me now is Innes Willicks, the Chief Executive of the Australian Industry Group. Innes, welcome back to Radio National Breakfast.
Hi, Sally. How are you?
Very well, thank you. What's industry's view of this coalition policy on energy and climate?
Well, it's been a head-spinning few days. Quite exhausting, really, because we've had 20 years of the climate wars and we've had a couple of years of what you might call détente over some of the sort of broader principles that are at play here. There are four different aspects that need to be considered here when business and industry is looking at this issue. One is net zero, that's emissions in as opposed to emissions out. 2050, the agreed timeline up until the weekend for the past few years to achieve that. The issue of emissions more broadly, and energy. And energy is really front of mind for business at the moment, given rising energy costs. And you know, just as households are struggling with cost of living, business is struggling with cost of doing business. And at the heart of that is energy costs, reliable, affordable energy, big issue for business that cannot be understated in any way at the moment. So, you know, what we'd hoped for, Sally, was some political agreement around, you know, at least the principles covering each of those areas. Very difficult to achieve, obviously, but to give business the confidence to invest not just in energy and electricity, but also to invest more broadly into their businesses and to make some of the bigger investments the business is looking to make at the moment around decarbonisation, digitalisation, technology and the like, upgrading plant and equipment. So, you know, we're now at the point now where there's two, you know, quite different approaches underneath it all, and business will just have to see how that plays out.
Are you disappointed about the lack of certainty in the investment climate at the moment?
Well, there's a lot of uncertainty everywhere, but obviously business to invest needs as much certainty as it can have, and to invest at scale, it needs certainty around key policy parameters, and that's what's held us back in the past when it comes to energy-related investment, is that lack of policy certainty. You know, we would hope, look, there's always going to be room for a disagreement and debate, and there always should be, around how we get to those objectives. That's fine and fair enough. But when you start taking away some of the core principles here or playing with them, that makes business pause to think around, well, what comes next? Will there be further upheaval in the years ahead that will impact the investments that I'm looking to make now? Investments take years from being considered to being implemented, and these are not just overnight decisions.
From what you've seen of the coalition's new policy, how easily will businesses be able to plan for the future, bearing in mind there are two alternative policy settings of the major parties?
Well, obviously, when business comes to making the investments it needs to work into the future, these are decades-long investments that businesses are looking to make. They're going to have to give consideration that there are two now very distinct and vastly different approaches to key parameters, which will impact those investments. So, for some, it will make them give pause. Others will push ahead regardless because they feel they have to in the current climate. But it's that uncertainty and that lack of settlement that makes it difficult. You know, where business is at right now, front of mind is energy costs. And, you know, obviously, the coalition is making a pitch there, and we'll have to see how that unfolds through the next election and beyond. But that's front of mind for business at the moment.
With what the coalition has released so far, are you confident that energy prices would come down under the coalition's plan?
without trying to sort of wriggle my way out of that, we need a lot more detail, you know, obviously from the coalition around what they're proposing over the longer term. From conversations with a range of people over the past week, it seems that they're opening their way back up to more coal into the system. They take, you know, if you were to go down that path, they take a long time to develop too, and there's been no investor appetite really for new coal-fired power stations now for a very long time because of the trajectory that we're on and the pure economics of it as well. There's obviously a big focus on gas, and that is welcome. That is, you know, of all the energy equations at the moment, that's the one at front of mind for what you might call platform industries: steel, cement, aluminium, paper, glass. You know, gas prices and reliability is a huge issue at the moment, and that's why you're seeing, you know, the government at the moment having, in large part, having to do a lot of work to keep facilities open and alive. It's driven by energy cost. So, you know, we would want to see more from the coalition on that front, and undoubtedly that will come. But, you know, we're in a very fraught times at the moment when it comes to viability for a lot of industry, and I think that's where a lot of the debate will happen. We would hope to, Sally, that we remain on a trajectory of, you know, we have for a long time been, you know, advocating, and industry has taken the lead around net zero by 2050. Industries by and large signed up to that, recognising some of the broader energy problems that we have. We would hope that that remains very much in play as we move forward for the certainty that provides, but we need a lot of policy things to go right for that to happen. I think we all recognise that.
So what's the headline here, if you like? Does the industry group support this coalition policy, or is there caution and need for more detail here?
There is certainly caution. There is need for a lot more detail from the coalition. They've just released a new policy approach on the weekend, so obviously we're going to be looking to explore that with them as much as possible. But the fact now that we have a big divergence in views between the two major competing parties gives us some cause for concern, because it does take away, you know, the framework for investment that business can make, you know, over the decades ahead.
The government is considering purchasing electricity to then on-sell to industry leaders like Tomago at an affordable price. Do you think the government should be stepping in directly into the market?
Well, where we're at with things like Tomago and what's occurred in Mount Isa and the smelting facilities around the country is the result largely purely and simply of, you know, energy cost and energy prices that businesses are bearing at the moment. These are high energy users, they're intensive energy users, and cost has just become unworkable for them. And these are what, you know, we would call platform industries. If we don't have those sort of capabilities in our economy, then our economy, the complexity of our economy starts to fall apart. And it's essential that we maintain that capability. We saw coming out of COVID, you know, a lot of the talk around economic self-reliance. You're not going to get that self-reliance if you don't have those sort of industries as key parts underpinning your economy at the moment. So, you know, look, the government's obviously got to look at whatever measures it has, but to lose those sort of facilities, you know, to see future investments in places like Whyalla not go ahead would, you know, to not overstate the word, be a tragedy for our economy.
On a separate issue, the coalition looks set to formulate a policy to reduce migration levels. What impact would that have on industry?
The big focus for industry when it comes to migration is around skilled migration, and we're short of the skills that we need right across the economy at the moment, desperately short. You look at housing construction, you know, big issue in the community and for business at the moment around where workers can live. Every major and component of house building at the moment, carpentry, plasterboarding, painting, electricians, plumbers—they're all in shortage at the moment, all on the critical shortage list that the government has. We're short in technical trade and technical skills and capabilities. You know, over 70% of businesses are telling us they're finding it very difficult to fill those gaps. That's where, you know, for our economic well-being, the concern is at the moment. And that's where we think that the focus of migration programs should be and needs to be for our economy to thrive. At the same time, we've got to put a lot more effort into training our own for the skills that we need for now and for the future.
Innes Willick, sir, thank you for your time this morning.
Thanks, Sally. Take care. Bye-bye.